At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, man?
Nothing. How are you?
I'm good. Watching a little curling, getting ready for that hockey game tonight.
Yeah. On ice. I guess you canceled cable, so...
I did. Well, we should still have it.
Well,
I signed out.
Oh, is that what it was?
It makes you sign out and sign back in. It wasn't the easiest thing to pause it, so yeah.
Okay. It said something when I went to open it the other day, and then I heard you say that you paused it,
I just figured
that that's what it was.
I think we're good until March or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It does the thing
where
it doesn't refund you. Yeah. I canceled some streaming services, not the ongoing. Some of them, I think if you buy through Amazon, maybe, are they the ones that they'll like refund you? They'll say, are you sure? Do you just want to end it now? We'll refund you. Or the other ones, you keep it for a while. And we were literally, I canceled Hulu. We never watch it. And then my brother texted me 2 days ago and said, you got to watch this documentary. So we watched it last night. And I'm not kidding. I kept thinking, like, well, we probably don't have Hulu anymore. When's it going to go away? And yesterday I was thinking, are we going to have it? Because I wanted to finish it last night. Get home, finish it, and as we're done with it, it logs us out.
Oh, really?
And that was it. Yeah. So
how
I was
about
like,
that
all right,
for timing?
Yeah,
huh?
Not too bad. But then I also do the thing where I think about Laszlo math, and I go, why do I cancel any streaming services? Even if I don't watch them that much, all I do is watch TV. So in the off chance that I do want to watch one of these services.
But the thing is with the services, you can just sign back up. It's pretty easy. For me, it's easy if I do it through Amazon.
True. If you do it through Amazon,
so
it's easier.
So all my stuff that I cancel, I just cancel it through Amazon. And then if you're like, oh, you got to watch this, and I'm 99% of the time, I'm like, okay, no, I don't.
Yeah.
But if there is that 1% of the time you suggest something, I'm like, well, I'll just buy it.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it's on.
I can do that with my Apple TV. I just don't. In this effort to try and get everything in one place, nothing is in the same place. So it shouldn't be a big deal. It's really not. The other issue, though, too, is that everyone uses our passwords for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So Brooke's sister, my mom, my brothers.
Oh, so they get mad.
So then they just say, like, hey, what's wrong with this? And I'm like, I don't think I have anybody's password to anything. You know what I mean? No one ever offered me. I think maybe you offered something once. Boy, that was a while ago, and I don't remember what it was now. But I remember you had a hard time signing in. Yeah, at some point, my brother was trying to get me signed into Disney a couple of years ago to watch a Star Wars thing, and it was like I had to talk to him so that he could be there for the email with the confirmation number and all that. And I thought, why am I doing this? Yeah. This is pathetic. To save whatever this is going to cost me at the time, maybe $10 or something. I just thought, why don't it's Lazlo math. Even if you are paying $100 for all your streaming services.
Yeah, my thing is I don't usually cancel them all. My thing is if I'm not watching sports, then really I don't even open up YouTube TV. I don't open cable. Yeah, and that's $82
that's
a month or something.
I did get rid of that a while back.
So for me, I love it for sports, but I don't really need it.
Yeah.
If I watch a very little college basketball, and usually that's on something else, I can find it. If I'm looking for college basketball, I can usually go to ESPN Plus or
now
Paramount or Max. They've all got them.
Yeah. So, I had, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago, I think, was when I last got rid of cable. It was Hulu with live TV or whatever. Mm-hmm. That did get expensive. You're going, okay, because you've got however much your internet costs, and then if you've got that live TV through anything, it's probably at least $80, $70.
Yeah, I think mine was 82. I mean, so if I would have watched it at all, I would have kept it. But I noticed the boys, they never go to YouTube TV to look at it. I think maybe we go to it and if we're eating dinner at the kitchen table, put on some sort of comedy show that we all like, Family Guy or something, but I'm sure we could find it somewhere
else. That's just
it.
Every network, company has a streaming service now.
So
you go, what is on here? Sports is it.
Right, sports.
It's for sports. And for me, most of the sports.
When baseball season starts, I'll have it.
Yeah, for baseball, it's muddy. It's difficult, depending on who you want to watch. With the MLB app, you can watch a lot of games on there, right? So it's the Royals that become an issue, but cable doesn't necessarily solve that problem.
I saw they were going somewhere. Someone will tell us.
Oh, is it moving?
FanDuel Sports or something?
Really?
Which is on Fubo?
Oh, somebody said something about baseball.
I thought it was going to be on Amazon.
So you'll have to have cable, or will it be? Are they going
to
do another?
I'll have to look it up.
Because the whole, how much was it with Bally's? $10 or 15 a month?
I don't remember. It might have been more than that, but there was nothing else on there.
It was just that.
Yeah.
So you're paying for just that. Because there's part of me that says, with as many baseball games as there are, $10 a month, maybe for the Royals, maybe you pay this straight up $10 a month.
Right.
But when it starts to get higher than that, you're like, I don't know. And then if you have to have cable,
$20?
Yeah, forget it. I just can't justify that. $20 a month.
Oh, it's just Bally's with a new name. That's it.
That's all it is?
Oh, it's FanDuel now.
Okay. So it'll probably be the same app with the new name and all that. Yeah. So I guess I won't be watching the Royals.
It sucks, so it makes it,
Will you do it? Will you be paying for it again this year?
Mm.
I mean, that app, you had some tough times with that app.
It sucked.
Yeah. And they didn't do a good job with the pre and post. It didn't look very good.
No,
the app
horrible.
Itself just looked bad, and the programming, there was nothing. Like you said,
That's it.
It's either on or it isn't.
I'm $20, man.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's a lot. My mom told me last night she pays
$180. And then it would just log me out all the time, too.
Oh, that's the deal breaker right there. If it logs you in and out all the time, F that. Especially when you're paying that much for it. If I log into a service, even if I'm only paying $10 for it, if it logs out every other time, I'm not using it anymore. I'm done. Forget it.
It does take some getting used to.
The Church of Laszlo.
Okay, everybody just calm down.
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo.
Yo.
You good?
Yeah, I'm looking for I'm trying to add this. Are you going to do it?
I might. I have to see the app.
Well, that's just it. It says that's what I'm coming up with is getting the app. I guess if I get home, I can find it on my Fire Sticker. But it's the same cost, right? $20 a month?
$20 a month, yeah. So it must just be just like it.
Except that, I mean, obviously they changed the name, but also I don't know if the old Bally said this, but it probably did, because it's advertising that you get that, and then it talks about how you get horse racing. Does it say that on your thing? I don't know if this is this. If I'm looking, it's FanDuel TV Plus. Does that sound like the right thing? Okay, yeah, because it's it pops up when I looked at the baseball thing, and then it says that you get bet slips on the screen, and then you can watch live horse racing from 300 plus tracks.
I would like that.
With sports betting, you should be able to bet on horses on the app.
Yeah, of course, that'd be great. You can't.
You definitely can't do that.
Maybe.
You can't, because I feel like I would have seen that. If I've gone so far as to bet on cricket or darts, I've bet on darts before when there was no sports on. I feel like I would have seen if there were horses on there, but it is weird that that wouldn't be included. I don't totally understand. That seems like a form of sports betting to me. And when does Missouri get to start sports betting? Does anyone know? Does someone on Twitch know when we're going to be able to start doing that legally? Are they just not going to do it? They voted on it, right? Twitch.tv/Church of Lazo. And if you've tried this FanDuel thing, I'm hoping Lazo will try it. It's like with the Bally's thing. It sucked because you couldn't loan it to people. You couldn't let us use it.
As early as June 2025.
That's when you'll be able to start sports betting in Missouri?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, it's not too terribly far away. If Lazo could, you know, share that password, then we could split it. And I know that's exactly what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
But still,
we have it here.
Yeah, the problem is that when you did it here, I think that was part of, maybe it wasn't, maybe it's just a bad app, but I always thought that was part of why you were getting kicked out at home, is because we were trying to watch it here. And I think if your kids turned it on at all, like when we still had the app on, it was
I shared it with a buddy, too, so if he was on it, it
just
kicked me out at
totally,
home.
I mean, they're so
just kicked me out all
strict.
The time. Even if sometimes I take him, like, are you on this? And he's like, no, and it would just kick me out. So the Bally's app was horrible. That's why I'm thinking maybe I won't buy it if they didn't, you know, do anything better with the app.
I just trying to decide what would be a fair price to pay, not using Lazo. I know if you say you're going to watch most of the games, then the Lazo math would work out, right? That's a lot of games to watch on TV. But using just other streaming services for comparison, I don't know what Netflix costs now, $20-some a month. But how much money do they spend on content per year? It's a lot. A lot. It's more than the Royals spend. Now, I understand that they need to charge more because they got fewer people. But at some point, you got to go, this formula isn't working. We don't have enough people who are willing to sign up for $20 to make this back. Just make it easier to watch and generate. You're showing commercials anyway.
Right.
Generate that money with ad revenue. If I could, in my MLB app, add the Royals for $10, then I feel like a ton of people would do it.
Yeah, of course.
A ton of people. And I don't know what the MLB app
costs. But that said, with this FanDuel thing, it will be on plenty of streaming services.
Okay.
I just don't have it.
Okay.
So it's not on YouTube, it's not on Hulu, but it is on, like, Fubo and, you know, DirecTV and other ones. It would just come with your service.
But you can also, will you be able to watch it on your Fire Stick through Prime or whatever if you sign up through Amazon?
I'd have to buy that app.
Yeah.
What if I had YouTube TV and it was on that, then it would just come up.
Well, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right.
It's those cable services where it's blocked or YouTube and Hulu, but if you have cable. Yeah, because I don't think if I signed up for actual cable, like if they brought a cable box to my house.
You'd get it.
I would automatically get the Royals, right? I would have to sign up for something special. Or is it like a separate thing, maybe? I wonder if maybe my mom doesn't get the Royals games anymore. Now that I think about it,
that app's on Spectrum anyway, so it doesn't matter. So.
But she does have Spectrum, but she probably just has basic cable, whatever that is, and I don't think that comes.
Maybe.
When the Royals went to the World Series, when it was 2014, 2015, right? So back then, when we were watching
game, on regular TV.
It was on regular cable, right?
You
don't remember
what
channel.
App.
Yeah, but you didn't need an app or anything like that. So now you're saying you have to have
this FanDuel channel. Which would have been Bally's before, I guess.
All right. Well, whatever. I mean, I'm sure they're much smarter than us, and they've got this figured out. Somewhere along the way, they can look at how much money they're making. How many people did you know who had the Bally's app?
Not many.
Because I literally knew you.
Right.
And I asked around. I mean, my brother loves the Royals. Both my brothers love the Royals. Mm. I know a lot of people who complained about not being able to see the games. The only person I know who actually tried to do something about it was you. And that was after bitching about it for a long time, where we said, man, it sucks that we can't watch the games. Right. And
obviously, we can talk about it forever, but obviously, baseball needs to fix that. You need to be able to watch your home team.
Yeah.
Like, if you want people to care about your team, then they have to be able to watch it.
And you have
to make it as easy as you can for them to watch. Like, don't make it hard. What are you doing?
And because you show commercials anyway, to me, I just don't understand why then, the more eyeballs you get, the more those ads are worth.
And
right?
With the Bally's thing, I'm paying you, and you're not even giving me any extra content. Like, it's starting right at inning one, ends at inning nine.
Yeah.
I don't get replays, I don't get special shows, I don't get anything.
Which the MLB app does all that stuff.
I get Roberto Clemente documentaries, all kinds of stuff. Movies.
Turn it on in the offseason, and there's videos up there.
The Natural movie.
Yeah, but during the baseball season, there's tons of stuff. And you get the recaps of the games, the recap of the day, all the highlights from the day before. And at least the time that
Bally's
you showed me that Bally's thing, they didn't do that. I don't when I think of the villain here, I don't think of the Royals, and maybe I should. When I think of the villain here, I imagine some really rich baseball owner of a team that's not our team in a smoke-filled room somewhere. I don't know who makes those decisions, but I always feel like it's probably not the owners of the Royals.
Dumb.
It's probably not.
I just think they're dumb.
It seems like something that the bigger teams do.
I'm sure FanDuel pays the Royals, so they take the money.
Oh, I'm sure they do, yeah.
Right, but take the money.
But every team participates, right? Isn't that how it works in every market, or maybe not?
I'm sure some teams probably get local deals from their local TV stations.
Oh, okay. I was under the impression
that they
changed
those. Yankees get pass or whatever, so yeah.
Okay.
So, I think the Tigers are on, you know, Fox Sports or whatever.
I thought that...
Well, not everybody's on Bally's.
Okay, I thought that they were. Like, if it was your local team, that's what they had switched to.
They're not all on Bally's, no.
Okay, because when everybody complained about that stuff, I just got the impression they were talking about the owners had made this decision. I thought that maybe that's what happened. Mm. I think Fox Sports is what we used to watch them on, right?
Yeah, you used to come on Fox Sports, it was on your regular cable.
So in Detroit, you think you can still watch them there?
I know you can, because if you go to different games, you'll see what channels they're on. When you go to the MLB app, it'll be like you go there and it'll say you're watching Fox Sports Detroit, or if you go to Seattle, you're just watching a regular TV station.
Okay. Hmm. So, well, then maybe someone around here is the villain. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's sports. Like you said, and also, not only do I not understand how the ad revenue wouldn't be greater, but like your kids, they like baseball. Mm-hmm. That's good. I feel like a good way to make sure that they lose interest
baseball
in your team
right,
is to
not,
make
yeah
it harder to watch that team. And right. I know you've talked about that, but your kids... Literally, that's not made up. Your kids are fans.
Some
I mean, your
teams
youngest, especially,
is a Padres fan. Because he can watch it.
That's the only reason. There's no other connection. There wasn't some
we
moment
to a game
where he decided it. Yeah.
We went on vacation to San Diego. We came back. He can't watch the Royals. He likes the Royals, but, you know, that's it.
That's that. And I think if the Chiefs
can't
did
watch it,
the
so
same
it'll be like,
thing,
oh, let's watch the Padres.
If it was impossible to watch the Chiefs, I know people think like, oh, that couldn't happen. I think it could. Also, baseball is different. You're talking about a lot of games. And if you want to feel invested, you got to listen to some of those games, watch some of those games.
You got to. You got to make
really
a connection
to
the players.
Because when you go to that first game of the season, let's say it's not home opener, say you go to a game in June, whenever that is, it makes it a lot more fun if you know something about who the hell's on your team.
Of course. And you build a connection, and the players build a connection with the city. If you can't watch it, then there's no connection.
There's none. And
I don't know what the percentage of people in the city who can watch it and we can't.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I don't know. Like, is it probably 60%, 70%? I don't know.
Well,
how much coverage?
But that's my thing. How many people do you talk to that watch the games because they've signed up for the app? I'm saying you're
well,
the
no,
only
but I'm saying maybe if they have cable, yeah, maybe 70, maybe the Royals will be like, hey, you guys keep talking about
this
but 80% of the
yeah
people in the metropolitan area can watch it. So maybe we're on the outside.
Yeah.
I don't
and that's
know
what I'm saying.
That.
I don't actually know because I don't really know if my mom can watch the games
right
or not. Maybe she can. But I do know that I've heard a lot of people complain about how they used to be able to watch them and they can't anymore. And maybe that's just because so many of us quit cable,
right,
you know, around that same time. When the Royals were going to the series, that was the same. You know, back then, we probably all still had cable. It's hard to believe, but we probably still had cable, both of us. We probably still had cable boxes and all that in, like, 2018, 2019.
Not that long ago.
Huh?
Not that long ago.
Yeah. I mean, you'd think it feels like a long time that you've gone without it, but it probably has only been 6 or 7 years, something like that. So, certainly, 10 years ago, we all had it. And again, maybe if we're totally wrong about this and I misunderstand how it works, feel free to call me out, twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. But it does feel like I'm not the only one who has complained about having a harder time watching the teams.
Well, in 2023, the Royals had the second largest decline in local TV viewership.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
the second largest
decline. Second largest of all the teams.
Of all the teams. And what year was that, did you say?
2023, so it wasn't that long ago, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, you would expect a drop off for obvious reasons. You know, when everyone was watching every game in 2015, you're not going to keep that up. I get it. I would walk around the neighborhood at night, take the dogs for a walk, and everyone had the Royals on.
Yeah.
Everyone, and you could talk to everybody about the games. That was great. Even if you make it free, if it's over the air, you're not going to be able to keep that up. But I do feel like you'd have a hell of a lot more people watching, and if you got a kid who's not already a fan, you could turn them into a fan. If your kid's not interested in baseball and you want him to get interested in baseball, right now, Lazo, when he's 13 years old, how would you do that with the Royals without paying for it? You couldn't. So, and I love listening to them on the radio. I actually think
you want,
that's
you
how my
watch
that's
them
how my brothers listen, my grandpa and everything. I get it. It's there's something about baseball and hearing it on the radio, but I would also like to watch it, and I think your kids probably want to watch it, and especially when they're new to the game, if you're trying to make fans out of them, then it would really help if they could watch them. Speaking of, I haven't talked to your kid this year about the Royals. What's it? Because last year he was.
Well, we didn't have to bring in here.
Like dead
let him
on.
Come in and do a show with us.
Has he said anything?
He mentioned some things to me.
Because last year when I asked him before the season started, he like nailed it. He said they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, he talked about the pitch.
Like,
really?
What he said. And he said, I think they can make the playoffs. It'd be close, but I think there could be some October baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
And it's I think he told me they're going to win the division this year.
Really?
Well, we'll have him come in and we'll do a little baseball talk with him.
Yeah, I'll put some money on what he says. Nobody knows more baseball than him.
Well,
I thought nobody knew more than you.
We'll do a podcast with him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Snowcone's favorite thing, a baseball podcast. Get that going. It. Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the murder hornets.
Whoopies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
All right, the news. The question is.
Yeah.
You knew that you were going to be on that flight that turned upside down, but you knew you would survive, but you had to go through the whole thing. Would you do it for $30,000?
Yeah. You don't know if you'd be one of the ones that gets injured or not, but you survive.
Everyone survives.
Everyone survived.
Of course.
And they claim, Delta claims, I'm reading this on TMZ's website right now, no strings attached with this $30,000.
There are new developments this morning on that Delta Airlines plane crash in Toronto this week. Delta is offering passengers who were on the flight $30,000 apiece. Airline officials telling customers the offer has no strings attached and does not affect rights. The plane was carrying 76 passengers, 4 crew members, when it burst into flames upon landing and flipped upside down.
How much money do you think... For a guy who's constantly dreaming about suing someone other than my own company, I never want to put a small mom pop out of business, never want to sue my own company, but I'm always looking at those people who get $1 million for suing Kellogg's or whatever, those frivolous lawsuits. When something like this happens where there's a plane crash and everybody survives, my immediate thought should be, I wonder how much they'll sue for. I mean, the plane flipped upside down and caught on fire. It was pretty traumatic. I'm sure people sue for that sort of thing. They probably... Maybe they all sue. I just sort of forget about it. And maybe the news talks about it. Maybe they don't. But even if they do, maybe it's so far down the road that I just forget all about it. Because I would think if Delta's offering $30,000 to each passenger, and on top of that saying it won't prevent you from suing us down the road, then $30,000 must be nothing. I mean, it is newsworthy. It's in the news today. But I could see them saying $30,000, but you can't sue us. That stuff happens all the time.
Of course.
But if they really mean it, that this is no strings attached, then they must plan on paying out a lot of money, and I shouldn't be surprised by that. If you can win $1 million for being no real ginger...
I don't know how it works. There's got to be...
There's got to be people who have been in...
You know, there's act of God clauses in there, so I don't know. But the question is, would I take a $30,000? Sure.
Yeah. And they probably have to...
And would I get in that plane if they said, this is what's going to happen,
yeah,
and you're going to survive... But you got to walk out on the ceiling and everything else. Yeah. And okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It's less traumatic, I suppose, when you know you're going to survive, obviously. But still, as you're coming in, you're going to be a little more nervous because you know that this thing's about to flip over and catch on fire. So there's that.
Well, you'd also be like, I hope they're right.
Well, that's true, that you will survive this.
I hope they're right.
Yeah, of course. But $30,000, I would take it. I mean, we can only say that because nobody died. If even one person died, then you can't really do this hypothetical, especially this soon. You could, but and when it comes to how much money they're going to pay out...
How many... Well, you'd have to do that math, but I'd probably, roll the dice.
I mean,
there's 90 people, like, one out of 90, okay.
I know. You start to think about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, certainly, if you don't have kids... I mean, one out of 90 is not great. You hate to think that today you have a 1 in 90 chance of dying.
You're probably...
That's probably a little higher than normal, but you're right. It is still a really good chance that you'll be okay. Basically free money. I guess they'll probably have to wait until all of the investigations are done, and then once they can prove that there was some sort of fault, the airline's fault or the manufacturer's fault or both, then they probably figure, okay, this is how much money you can get. Koberger, Snow Cone's favorite serial killer. I guess he's not a serial killer. Are you a serial killer if you kill them all at once? If you do it all at one time? No. I don't know if that counts. I think you're just a mass murderer. No. Koberger, the Idaho guy who killed those college kids, his trial is supposed to be getting ready to start.
I was reading about him last night.
His defense team has been, because the defense team has been fighting forever. They wanted to relocate. They wanted all of this evidence excluded from trial. They said, hey, these searches were done improperly. You need to exclude all kinds of things, including the very important DNA evidence. And last month when they had those little hearings, we talked about it at the time. It looked like the judge wasn't interested in that
at all. They were arguing that the DNA on the knife sheath did not constitute probable cause, which led the judge say, DNA on a knife sheath is probable cause every day and twice on Sunday.
Exactly. So it was pretty clear then that he wasn't going to go with the defense's claim. And
major setback for Brian Koberger's defense. Multiple new rulings from the judge set to oversee this quadruple murder trial, knocking down all of the defense team's efforts to get key evidence tossed out. Cell phone and email records, surveillance footage, even Koberger's past Amazon purchases, potentially all now fair game for prosecutors. But most significant of all, the judge refusing to toss out DNA evidence linking Koberger to the crime scene.
I know Amazon purchases.
Right.
One of the less embarrassing things on my phone. It's still enough that I don't need the cops getting a hold of that. I don't want them digging through all of my Amazon purchases. I don't even remember what's on there. But I know there's at least a few things that are embarrassing. I always think that when you see these stories, there's a suspect, they want to look at the phone. Maybe they think they are going to be able to get a warrant for it, or maybe they're just asking you nicely. It's almost like when they search your car. If you say, no, I'd rather you not search my phone, they act like that's probable cause. Like, oh, well, that's suspicious. We're going to hold on to your phone. But even if you didn't kill anyone, even if you didn't break any laws, you still don't want anyone looking at your phone. And I'm guessing for most people, that reason is probably the text messages that are saved over the course of years and years, and photos, right? Those would be the main things. You forget about stuff like every Amazon purchase you've ever made, because it's not that bad. But I don't know. I don't want them to see it. There's so much stuff on my phone that I don't want people to see, even if it's not illegal. And I'm not even positive it's embarrassing. I know I bought a sex toy on Amazon at least once because it got stolen off my porch.
Well, nobody cares.
So I know, but it's still, you're just like, I don't care. I don't need you going through all that stuff. If the cops took your phone right now, if they said, hey,
there's nothing on there.
You're not worried about it at all? Not even...
Because I don't think they're going to bring up the stuff that I think is embarrassing.
No, they won't. It's just
they're like, oh, we saw you buy a sex toy.
Yeah, no, they won't talk
say
about
that.
It.
Like, all right, fine.
You just have to go pick the phone back up from them, and they say thank you, and you look them in the eyes, and you think...
No, they bought sex toys, too. I just don't think anybody cares.
I know.
It's not a big deal.
I shouldn't. I don't know how the law works. I'm not an airplane accident investigator. I'm also not a lawyer. I'm surprising people today, but... I would think that when it comes to looking at Amazon history and that stuff, that maybe it's just kind of fair game if they can say, hey, we think that there are some connections here. If we can show, and Snowcone, you're the expert on this case, but if they can show, like, hey, he bought a knife with a sheath on this date, well, then the Amazon purchases are included, right?
Right.
Otherwise, maybe they're not. I don't know. I don't know what the rules are because I've never heard that come up before, but it makes perfect sense. I would guess that the prosecution has something that they think matters.
It's circumstantial, but it matters.
Something in his Amazon history. Because the defense was saying when it comes to the DNA, right, that they didn't have the right to collect the DNA.
Right.
It was like illegal search and seizure, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, did they not have a warrant to go into that home? Do you need a warrant when there's dead bodies there?
They definitely had a warrant. Through the defense's argument, they went beyond the scope of the warrant.
Because they tested it for DNA. But my thought...
No. The home when they arrested him. They had a warrant to arrest him at his home in Pennsylvania, his parents'
home.
Well,
that's a separate issue,
but
right?
But that's beyond... They said they went beyond the scope of the warrant.
But they also talk about the warrant in regards to the knife sheath, which I thought was left behind at the house.
Scene.
That's my thing. If it's
it
at the house,
on top of
then
bodies.
You can get it. But I assume that's probably normal defense teams have to try everything. They throw it all out there. Laszlo thinks he's innocent.
That's the thing.
I don't know that he's innocent or guilty. I just don't
You've got your suspicions.
Yeah.
Well, he deserves a fair trial for sure. And this defense team is throwing everything at the wall as they should.
Yeah, that's their job.
That's totally fine.
That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I don't.
Nothing wrong with it.
And some of it sounds bizarre to me, like saying they shouldn't collect the DNA on the sheath, but I'm sure every defense team does that. This is just a really high-profile case. We mentioned the Delta settlement, the $30,000, but there was another plane crash last night, and the media, they're asking questions. what's going on here? There's been a handful of air incidents in a relatively short amount of time. You had the Washington, D.C. Jet from Wichita that hit the helicopter. You had the ambulance airplane. You had the Delta plane just, you know, land and roll over and catch on fire. And now you have two planes, but these are two single-engine planes that collided mid-air
in another aviation accident, this one involving two small private airplanes Wednesday morning just outside Tucson. Officials say a Cessna and a Lance airplane, each with two people on board, collided mid-air near a small airport that does not have an air traffic control tower. The NTSB says while the Cessna landed uneventfully, the Lance airplane crashed on the runway and caught fire, killing two people.
Okay. So this story is everywhere I've seen it. And I know, Snoko, and you sent it to me last night. It's like, what's going on with airplanes? Is there something going on? Or do single-engine planes crash sometimes and we normally wouldn't hear about it, but it's because of all this other stuff that's been going on?
I figured.
I mean, I don't know. You'd have to look at the stats. But certainly the media is acting like there's something going on
right.
with aviation. And they're too close together. To me, those things are... they're just not all that similar. A passenger jet versus two single-engine planes that are flying around with no... that just doesn't scare me. I'll get on an airplane still. This whole AP put out a thing to be like, how to survive a plane crash. Because flying in America seems to have gotten more dangerous.
Don't.
Yeah, no, I don't...
they
don't. I don't think I need to practice.
You either do or you don't. I don't think there's much you can do.
No, I think they've said in the past that people in the back of the plane have a better chance. But other than that... That's about it. I don't think you're going to teach me how to duck and roll to survive a plane crash. Guess what? Snowcone's favorite TV show did exactly what he said it would do. It became the number one TV show on Apple. It surpassed Ted Lasso, Severance, the show that he's been begging us to watch forever, and others, too.
Lasso's the one who turned me on to it.
Yeah. I'm sure the first season.
I need to watch it. I'm going to watch it. I just haven't started it yet. But it's huge. It's dethroned Ted Lasso.
The four of you have become known as the face of severance reform.
Okay, so we're not in trouble?
I don't think so. Milchick said we're famous.
All of us equally, or one of us is like the star?
Okay, does Ben Stiller write it too, or just direct it?
He's the showrunner.
So, but it's not written by
executive
him?
Executive producer, he has a say in the writing. He's directed a few episodes.
Okay. Oh, I thought he directed
it. But he's, ultimately in charge.
Gotcha. And it is sort of, I know so little about it other than they had these surgeries, they all have different memories. Is it one of these shows that when you finish an episode, you go online and you read about theories? Is that
100%.
The compelling part?
Okay. 100%.
So it's a big mystery.
Yeah, and it's, I personally enjoy getting on the subreddit and reading the theories and listening to podcasts about it. And that's, this show is prime for that.
For sure.
Prime.
And did you like it, Lasso?
No. But the only reason why, I think it's a good story. I like all of it. I'm just not a sci-fi guy. And it really is sci-fi looking. The way, all the walls are white. The way you walk down. Just
how'd that maniac
got that whole vibe of this is a 1970s sci-fi thriller.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the story's fine. It's just, I don't love it.
Not your thing?
Mm-mm.
I know Snowcone said this, and I heard others. So this is really the thing that pushed me over the edge. I'll give it a shot. Is that they said, unlike a lot of other mystery shows like Lost, where you're wondering what's going on, that this show supposedly has very satisfying ends to their seasons. Like, you do get something. Now, of course, there's still mystery, but...
still big mystery, still big cliffhanger, but you're getting answers.
But that they give you something. So I know that everyone says it's great. I didn't think Apple would be able to put anything up that beat Ted Lasso anytime soon. I'm kind of surprised, but they did. I don't know how big that makes it compared to other shows, but it's bigger than Ted Lasso, so I guess I need to watch it.
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill
the order of hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on?
We are finishing up the news. So remember the war in the Ukraine, all that?
I've heard about it.
Yeah. And the United States sent a bunch of stuff over there, spent a lot of money, right? Some people had Ukrainian flags flying outside their houses. Maybe they still do. I don't know. I haven't noticed
that.
People had stickers on their cars. It's been going on for a while. Got a new administration now. Trump doesn't seem to be...
those toothpick things?
Yes.
Thank you.
Trump doesn't seem to be as enthusiastic about it as the Europeans and Biden was.
Oh, I saw Elon talking about, like, you know, this dude took pictures for Vogue when people were dying in the trenches. And I was like... Both sides do that, man. So, again, I know a lot of... To the right, I sound like a left-wing crazy person. And to the left, I sound like a Trump apologist. But, man, that whole, like... They were taking pictures at this time, or they were playing golf while a war was going on. Yeah. Like, they did it with, you know, Obama and Clinton, you know, Bush, like, back and forth. And then the left does it. It's like, dude, like, just, I don't know when that picture was taken, but it's, so what, he took a picture. I don't even know if he's posed for the picture. It's like, that has nothing to do, like, what do you think he's doing? Like, he's like, you know what, people are dying, they're trying to invade my country. And, you know, I'd rather just be at Vogue now. So, right. Like, don't, not concerned. Like, that's not a thing, right? And it's like, you know, what do you think, like, you know, what do you think Biden is doing? And I saw, by the way, so the right people, so you don't get mad, I saw something post today, like, you know, what the hell is Trump doing at the hockey game? Like, shouldn't he be busy? I'm like, dude, part of what he does is go to that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't like.
It's a waste. Look,
I can hate
time.
People. I can hate their policy and their politics. We've gotten so just minute.
Everything
and
is evil.
Dumbass.
Everything
Stop.
is the worst ever. You know, anything the other side does, it's the worst thing ever. This right here today and tomorrow right. will be the new worst. Can you believe this right. is the worst thing ever?
But that said, I was like, when did we become friends with Russia? Like, isn't that?
Well, when Trump got back into office. Putin liked Trump the first time around. He liked him so much that people
right,
thought
the
that.
Right, cause...
I feel like that's when the right started to kind of be like, remember they were waving Russian flags at the RNC or whatever that was?
Yeah,
they're like,
look,
wow,
man.
You're waving Russian flags?
But if you grew up with it like me and you're a Gen X guy...
It's very confusing.
I grew up in like a... Well, my parents were Republicans, for the most part. Well, they're probably more Mitt Romney Republicans and Ronald Reagan Republicans, right? Well, Republicans, nonetheless, they did not like those Ruski pink commie bastards. They did not like that.
I don't think very many people did. But I, you know what, I was a little red dog.
And we, you know, had, right, you know, we had, you know, drills. They didn't say in case the Ukrainians nuke us.
Yeah.
They're like, when these Russian commie pinko bastards try to drop a nuke on us, you little S's get under your desk. Like, okay.
But... The war was won without a single shot fired. Soviet Union collapsed, and now they have elected.
Well, when I was
president.
In the military and when I was overseas for Desert Shield and Desert Storm, there was Cold War element to that.
Sure.
Certainly felt like it.
I'm sure.
We were not their fans.
Yeah. That's a lot of years of hating one another, you
right.
know? But
and then all of a sudden we're like, yeah, I don't know.
Time heals all wounds, I guess. It's just the enemy of my enemy. You know, it's the reverse of what it used
but
to be.
How did the Ukraine become our enemy? Like, somewhere between hide under your desk from the Pinko Commie Bastards Red Dawn movie, Ivan Drago is the worst guy ever.
And he stole Vietnam.
Right.
He's this villain.
Nikolai Volkov is the only friend he can find is the Iron Sheik. And Sergeant Slaughter will kick both their asses from that to Putin's right and this Ukrainian guy's a dictator. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's starting to act like one there. Zelensky starting to act like a dictator. So yeah, Trump and Zelensky have had a little war of words. It's not going
president
well.
President Trump is escalating his attacks on President Zelensky, describing the Ukrainian president as a dictator who's been conning the U.S. out of billions in aid.
The only thing... he was really good at was playing Joe Biden like a fiddle.
Trump
like
said
fiddle.
He's negotiating to end the war with Russia, adding this ominous threat.
A dictator without elections. Zelensky better move fast or he's not going to have a country left.
So what's weird about that, too, is that it looked like he was reading a speech. So someone wrote that. But I don't know. Maybe that's not weird. But, yeah, he doesn't like Zelensky, I guess. And it doesn't look like we're going to
so
be helping
like,
Ukraine
okay.
out too much.
So if now, Russia takes over the Ukraine?
It looks like there's got to be some sort of deal made. I mean, my guess would be that some of Ukraine is given over to Russia, which is what Russia wants, right? That's supposedly what they
I
wanted
don't know
since
what the hell
beginning.
They want.
supposedly they've been saying we're trying to end fascism in Ukraine, a bunch of Nazis, anti-Semites. So they're trying to end that because they've got these anti-Semite fascists right at their door. On top of that, they've got a lot of Russian, you know, loyal Russian citizens who are no longer citizens because they're basically trapped in what is now the Ukraine, and it should be part of Russia again. That's my very, very dumb understanding of how Putin feels about this, or that what he's saying, at least.
Now, so Putin's saying he wants to free
his whole excuse, people? His whole excuse for it in the beginning was like, there's these Russian people, they want us there. They don't want to live under this fascist, you know, dictatorship, these anti-Semites. We got to go save our Russian brethren in these parts of the Ukraine, you know, that are being run by the Ukraine.
Okay.
But now, critics say that all Putin wants is to continue to take back over old Soviet Union countries. Just, you know, try and recreate the bloc.
Okay.
And from the beginning, it was clear that he at least wanted some of the land in Ukraine. And even the people who were really supportive of Ukraine, the people that sounded smart to me, that doesn't mean they are smart, but they certainly are smarter than me. The thing I heard from them a lot was that the only way that this thing will end is that eventually the Ukraine will have to give up some land. It doesn't make it right. Those are the people who were, you know, talking on the radio, who sounded very smart and sounded like they supported the Ukraine and they were upset about it, but they still said, like, unfortunately, Russia's probably not going to stop until you give them something. So I would assume that that means we're at a point now where we're going to give them something. I did see today that there's some, it's not an envoy, but some group of anti-Russian politicians who were going to try and brief Trump and help him to realize why we shouldn't be helping Russia as some sort of last-ditch effort. I read that this morning. I don't know if that's already happened. I don't know how successful or unsuccessful that was.
Who are these people?
I don't know. I didn't recognize any of them. They're just people who are...
Germany guy or whatever kind of went off on Trump, right? Am I right about
maybe,
that?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't see. I saw that other European leaders, so he's probably, you know, they're obviously not happy. I mean, when the whole coalition came together when Biden was president and you had... what's his name? Merkel, France. And, you know, Europe was pretty supportive of it. It was the United States, it seemed like they wanted to make it clear that this was a joint effort. That's why they put France in charge, too. I think they didn't want to look like we're the ones telling everybody what to do still. So you actually have some sort of coalition together. But Putin and Trump got along pretty well last time around. So I guess once he took office, everyone said if Trump gets reelected, Putin will be happy because we'll basically stop sending so much money to Ukraine and he'll get what he wants, or at least some of what he wants. I mean, it looks like that's what's happening, but I don't know that Trump would even be mad if you said that. Like, hey, people said that you were just going to give in to Putin. I feel like the impression I'm getting from Trump is like, I should.
Well, waste of money. Like he says that he's going to give in to him. I think he feels like he's the only one that Putin's scared of.
Well,
he can tell Putin what to do. Like, so I get the vibe what he's telling us. True or not, I get the vibe what Trump is saying is like, look, I don't need this Zelensky guy. He can't get peace. Let me talk to Trump. Let me talk to Putin, and we'll figure it out on our own. We don't need anybody else, and I'll stop this war in 24 hours.
Yeah, sort of.
He's like the art of the deal type of stuff.
Well, he just flipped the script. Instead of saying, so you don't have to say I gave in to Putin or any of that. You say, no, Zelensky's a bad guy. You say what Russia's saying. Zelensky's a bad guy. He's in the wrong. So now you're just saying what Russia has been saying.
Yeah, of course.
And that way you're supportive of the war.
I'm not saying that he's not getting into him. I'm just saying.
Right. No, I'm saying that his angle has been.
But I think he'd argue with you about that and be like, no.
He would say Zelensky's a bad guy.
Yeah, Zelensky's a bad guy, and I'll kick Putin's ass, and he knows it. Sure. So he's got to listen to me.
Sure, yeah. But the message right now seems to be that Zelensky's a bad guy. We shouldn't have been supporting them. It's a waste of money, too. Spending way too much money. I mean, all this emphasis on saving money right now, about firing government employees and cutting these programs, well, that's a lot of money that you're sending to the Ukraine. It is a lot of money. You can't argue that. Even if you were totally in support of it, when you saw those numbers, you had to go, wow, that is a lot of money. But if you believe in it, you go, that's the right thing to do, though, then you're fine with it. But I don't think there's anyone that's like, it's not really that much money. It's, and then there's people say, oh, it's just old military stuff. And okay, maybe some of it, but it still costs money. It's still being used there.
Yeah.
Now, so it does cost us something. Two teenage girls in Houston, Texas were arrested because allegedly they had threatened a mass casualty event at their high school. This is the second time in like a month that the feds have caught a teenager before they did something, who said at least that they were going to do something. It's not clear to me, and maybe this news has come out since I pulled the story early this morning, but it wasn't clear to me at the time that I pulled the story how they found out about these threats, but it was the feds that found out, and they went and arrested
parents at a high school near Houston are in shock this morning, but breathing a sigh of relief after local police announced last night that they had stopped a possible plot to massacre students. Police say two girls ages 15 and 16 were discussing plans to use pipe bombs and guns to target Memorial High School in Harris County. Police arrested the girls after receiving a tip from the FBI about the teens making online threats.
Ah, that's so tough. First of all, you got minors. So I don't like charging minors as adults. I understand sometimes why they do it. You got a 17-year-old murder or whatever, but just change the rules in about how you can punish kids if you want to do that. I don't like charging them as adults if they're not adults. Why have the rule otherwise? Also, if you catch someone saying something, I do get nervous about the whole Minority Report aspect. Were they being serious? Where did they publish this stuff? Were they threatening people? Everything I've seen so far that I'm aware of, where these kids have gotten in trouble, they were threatening people, and it sounded serious, and I think you have to do something.
Yeah, for sure.
So shootings are a real thing. Now, when we were in high school, if we had a message board at school, and I said, I hate this place, I'd like to blow it up, probably wouldn't get in very much trouble.
Mm.
They might say, hey, you can't say that. Get off of there, Reed.
I think they call me and talk to me.
Exactly. That's it. You get a talking to. But
right,
the feds aren't
calling police.
They're not calling the feds.
They call my mom, maybe.
Right. If they called the feds, you'd be like, what do you want us to do? You want us to come beat them
I
up?
Guarantee you, I think kids did it, when I was
in high school.
Where you got on the payphone and said, there's a bomb in the school.
Exactly.
And
people
then they're like, oh,
that.
We got to leave. But everybody, like the parents, everybody's like, some asshole called in a bomb threat. They have to let him go now because he didn't want to take a test. Nobody thought there's an actual bomb at the school. Like, that, what difference? They didn't really thought that.
Exactly.
They all
so
knew, like, oh, and I could hear my dad now, like, school's got to follow up. Like, some kid's got a bomb. He would be like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, that was it.
Why are they sending everybody home?
And like you said, you get a talking to.
That's
it. The feds are not interested back then. But now I understand why they have to be interested and why they have to do something about it. I'm going to keep an eye on it. I don't want them getting carried away, Finally, Laszlo, this is scary, but this is like one of those, hey, if you've got kids, you should be aware of this. A five-year-old in Michigan, where was he? It doesn't matter. A five-year-old in Michigan had apparently ADD and sleep apnea. And one of this kid's doctors or therapist, whatever he was, suggested that he be treated in a hyperbaric chamber. So the mom took him to one of these hyperbaric chamber clinics. It reminded me a little bit when I was reading about this morning, like the dialysis centers. You know, you have these kind of standalone places, and they're all across the country, and they do hyperbaric chambers. Hyperbaric chambers are FDA approved for a couple things, like if you have carbon monoxide poisoning, if you've got the bends, those things that you think about with a hyperbaric chamber. It's not FDA approved for these other things. Also, they say if you are thinking about getting treatment in one of these things or sending your kids to get treated in one of these things, you need to really check to make sure that basically that it's got good reviews and that the government has said, we inspect this place, it's okay. Because this place apparently was a little shady where she took her kid. The mom is sitting there in the waiting room. The kid's in a hyperbaric chamber. Boom. He catches on fire.
What?
Mom rushes in there, tries to pull him out of this tube where he's burning to death, and she gets burned really badly in the process, and the five-year-old died.
This has been a parent's worst nightmare.
The five-year-old was killed in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber at the Oxford Center in Troy, Michigan. Thomas was receiving treatment for ADHD and sleep apnea, his mother in the waiting room.
She rushed back, and her son was engulfed in flames, and she tried and tried to get him out, and she suffered very bad burns.
So, she's suing, by the way. The lawyer said they'll be suing. But,
what's a hyperbaric chamber?
Pure oxygen. That's why it catches on fire, because it's like three times the amount of oxygen that's in the normal atmosphere. So, it's pure oxygen. And it helps people if they get, like, carbon monoxide poisoning. That's the main thing. If your family got carbon monoxide poisoning, they take you to KU Med or one of these places. I don't know where exactly. But I remember a kid across the street from me. It happened when I was little. His whole family got carbon monoxide poisoning. They all had to go be in a hyperbaric chamber for, it seemed like, quite a while. They do it if you get, I like the bends. These are really the two things I can think of. And those might be the only two things that the FDA has approved it for. But they will recommend it. Some people will recommend it for lots of other things. Apparently ADHD and sleep apnea are one or two. But if you are recommended this by someone, just, beware. And
make sure, start on fire?
Make sure you look into it. Yeah, because they are dangerous because it's pure oxygen, so they can easily catch on fire. So you're supposed to make sure that this place is inspected and that it's essentially government.
That's the worst story I've heard.
Right? Man. Is that not horrible? I don't want to talk about kids dying, but my God.
In front of you?
This is actually one of those stories where I go, it's so bad, I feel like I have to tell you.
That is the worst.
And they say how badly burned she is. Of course she is. Can you imagine your mom trying to rip you out of that thing?
I wish you'd even told
your mom story. Your mom wouldn't give up.
You shouldn't even brought this up.
I know. It's bad. But it could save someone's life, Snowcone. You never know.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. All right. So, before I tell you what people said, how much money would someone have to hand you today to quit your job and just go travel, go on vacation? Now, the thing is, it doesn't say anywhere in here that you can't get another job. And we're not saying that this necessarily means you're going to retire with it. I assume that's what a lot of people, maybe even most people, are thinking. It's like, well, if I'm going to quit my job, I guess I'm quitting it for good. But I read through this thing, and nowhere does it say that I can't, after I do all this traveling, go get another job. But you would be quitting this job, at least.
Right.
And for a lot of these people, they're saying, I'm going to retire on this amount of money. But I think that's a more specific question. How much does it cost to retire and go travel the world and do the things you want? This just says, quit what you're doing now, go travel the world. You can take family with you if you want. You can go alone. See the places you want to see. And I knew this would be a good question for Laszlo because I feel like there's not really any places that he wants to see.
No, but I don't know. I mean, would it be a lot? It would be an ungodly amount of money.
Because
I'd have to leave this job. That means either I'd then have to get another one when I got back. Either way, there's going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, you're either going to have to retire or...
Well, there's got to be enough for me to retire on.
Just in case you can't even get another job. I mean, you could get another job doing something, but that's an awfully big risk if I end up having to work 40 hours a week at a job that's really tough.
For less money.
So, how much today would you need? I'm curious what you guys think, and if it's close to what the answer is, the most common answer is. Like, if you're even in the same ballpark. I don't know how much you're supposed to have to retire. I've heard it's like $1 million now.
I feel like that's an old number.
That's an old number?
I feel like
it thought is. The old number, like way back when I was a kid, it was like, how the hell would I know? I thought $100,000 was a lot of money.
No, you can't retire on $100,000.
I'm talking about like in the 70s or 80s. I thought maybe people retired when they had $100,000. I don't know. But I know I've heard that nowadays you pretty much need $1 million if you're going to retire somewhere around 60. Certainly if you're going to retire before that, then you probably need $1 million, which makes sense. I know how expensive everything is and how much less money it feels like I make because things are so much more expensive. But God, I feel like I could retire $1 million now. But according to experts, they make it seem like it'd be really tough. I know me, I know Snowcone. Snowcone's younger than me, but I think both of us would take $1 million
for sure
now.
Well, at $1.5 million saved, you could withdraw $60,000 a year for 25 years.
Retiring at what age?
Well, $60,000 a year for 25 years. I don't know.
If you're going to live longer
than 25 years.
For 25 years. So, yeah, I mean, that's a risk there, right?
Yeah.
Not a huge one.
And $60,000 doesn't get you travel around the world with your family.
No, that's just retirement. That's why I said that's a separate thing.
Right. So the number to quit now and retire with your family has got to be more than 1.5.
Well, if you're quitting now and retiring, then I agree. Like, if that's clear that I'm not going back to work, I wonder how many of these people think, I'm going to quit the job I have, I'm going to go do this stuff, and then I guess maybe I'll have to go find it. Because their number seems awfully low to me. Awfully low.
Well, it's got to be. I mean, depending on their age, too. So maybe they could. Yeah. They're thinking that they could go back to work, but boy, it's going to have to be more than 1.5.
Well, they
to travel the world and do all the things that I want to do, like you're kind of throwing out there.
Yeah. They polled a few thousand people, and the specific average here is $287,731. So just
how
under
long do they want to travel?
Just under $300,000. Exactly. Well, right. So one of the things that they said is, with that money, I stopped working, and I could probably check off my bucket list. So I don't have a travel bucket list, so I don't know what that would cost.
Yeah.
But if you've got one, then I suppose you go, would it be enough to pay for that? That's why I think a lot of these people are thinking they're going back to work. Because with $280,000, depending on your age, but even if you're 60, still, $280,000 is not a lot of money if you're going to go do
travel
your bucket list and then have to retire. You're planning on working again. So start working on the bucket list or get the bucket list finished. I never started one. Visit the seven wonders of the world. That's a really popular thing that people want to do. Visit as many famous landmarks as possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Go on a really long road trip instead of actually flying around the world. Just drive around. Well, yeah, for $300,000, you could go on a pretty nice road trip, but you're going to go back to work. and at least a couple years. If you're spending all that money, even if you're like, I don't make that much right now, I get it. But if you're on vacation and you got someone with you, you're going to blow through that money. You're eating out every day, right? Yeah. I think $280,000 you could easily blow through in a couple years.
Oh, easy.
And you're going to have to go back to work. Easy. If you're on vacation, it would be quite easy. But and then the top thing is people said, I want to take my entire family on a dream vacation. Okay. Sure, so if I wanted to take my family, I don't know what their dream vacation is. I guess it'd have to be mine. I'll take them to Venice. They've never seen it. You got to see it. I'm sure that costs, $50,000, $100,000 maybe to take my... How many people am I taking? I'm taking everyone in my family? Probably gets close to $100,000 to take everyone. My nieces and everything.
Well, probably not that much, but...
I don't know. I'm just... Someone could tell me that it would, and I guess I wouldn't be shocked. If I'm taking all my brothers, my nieces, my mom... Someone told me you're going to need close to $100,000. I don't know. That seems like too much. But and it also depends.
You probably do it for 20.
On where you leave. Yeah, 20 sounds like
15. Much, 20, depending on how big your family is, but yeah, you can do it for 15.
The flights, if I want to fly out tomorrow, it's $5,000. But if I book it in advance, I think you can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, that's not really a dream vacation to take my entire family somewhere that I want to go. I mean, I guess it would be nice. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my dream vacation is. It seems like everybody but me has one. And I mean, honestly, Laszlo included, because I know Laszlo has said in the past, he doesn't have like a bucket list. He doesn't have...
I want to go to all the MLB stadiums.
Well, that's your wonders of the world right there. Yeah. There you go. You go to all the stadiums. Yeah. Well, so you won't need $287,000, but you would if you're going to have to try and find work again.
Right. That's the problem.
It's just not enough. 18% of people, a little over 18% of people, said they would stop working, quit their job for $50,000 or less. Yeah. 32% said they'd need at least $500,000. Okay. That seems a little more reasonable. Again, I wonder how old these people are.
Yeah.
And, they either, this last group, maybe they really hate their job or love their job or hate traveling. I'm not sure. But I feel like I got to be in this group because... are close to it, because 17% said basically we're not even close to being realistic about the amount of money it would cost for me to quit my job now and go travel the world. It's probably going to have to be an astronomical number, which I guess what I'm really saying is I'm not ready to quit my job. Now, I'm not saying that totally. Some of these people were. Like, they really like their job. But I do like my job enough that if they're like, final offer is $2 million, I'll probably take it, of course. But if we're still talking $1 million,
$2 million,
right? But if we're still talking even $1 million,
that's not 50 grand.
I don't think $1 million.
$1 million. I think about it, like, all right, how can I pull this off? But I'm not traveling. I'm not doing all the stuff they want me to do.
You can't. That's the thing. One or the other. Which is it? I'm quitting my job. Right. If I'm going to go travel, then I'm going to have to get another job because I'm going to blow that money on that vacation.
Right.
If you offer me $1 million right now, there's no way I keep my job. There's no way. Even if some financial expert said, you are going to have a tough time, my friend. Here's how much you're going to have. Here's what the interest. And they just said, this is how much you're going to have to live on. I'd be like, it has to work. I'm a millionaire. Literally, I'm a millionaire. I have to make it work.
Now, yeah, I mean, you saw the money.
Yeah.
At $1.5 million, it was $60,000 for 25 years.
Yeah. So, you live.
You're not killing it.
You're not killing it. But you're not begging for change either. I mean, you're living. Plenty of people live on that, right?
Yeah.
So
depending
it also
on
depends
what your
on
bills are now.
Right. It depends on who's with you.
Right.
And are they contributing?
What are your bills?
Yeah.
Are your bills something that makes of someone who makes more than $60,000?
Right.
If they are, then you're screwed.
Well, yeah. You'll have to change your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Sell your house?
You'd have to. But that's my thing with $1 million. That's kind of what I'm saying. If I knew that it would mean you got to get rid of this and this and this, I'd still for $1 million have to take it. Like, okay. Help me figure it out, because there's got to be a way to make this work for $1 million. There's just got to be. I mean, when I was a kid, $1 million was a big deal. Now you're saying basically I need $1.5 million to really
be
okay.
And that's not to retire overly comfortable.
No, you're not buying a big expensive condo on the ocean.
And,
yeah. You got to.
You're bringing in $5,000 a month.
Yeah.
$2,500 a payday.
Yeah.
That's what you're bringing in.
So that's what you're
I mean, it's
on.
Not nothing, but.
No, it's not nothing. And you can live on it. You know you can.
Right.
But the question is, do you hate
your
job enough?
You're not going out to dinner all the time.
No, you're not. You're definitely not. And if you like your job like we do, then there's no real reason to not try and hold out for a little bit more. Because what my fear is that it's not enough. I realize I need to start working again. That's the ultimate fear. Running out of money, yes, but the reason running out of money is so scary is because it means I have to get another job. So you might as well ask us, how much would it cost for you to quit your job right now and just go look for another job? That's kind of what you're asking under a certain amount,
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's a lot.
Yeah, I take a million. I do the million.
It's more than what I'll make.
You also got to figure out what you have saved now. I don't know what you have saved.
Yeah.
So that's on top of what you have saved.
Yeah.
Bro.
It ain't much. It's something.
Yeah.
I mean, but it ain't much, you know? Not if we're talking about these kind of numbers. I got a ways to go. A ways to go. But a million, I'd do it. Snow Cone, I know, would do it. There's no way either of us would turn down $1 million. I feel like, Lazo, you can make it work at this point.
I take it.
Yeah, $1 million, you take it?
Yeah, for sure.
$800,000, $900,000?
Yeah, I'd probably take it and just risk it.
It's too tempting. It's too tempting.
I'd probably take it, sell my house, see what I can get, try to buy a one-bedroom condo. I don't know. Try to figure it out.
That's part of the fun of it is, like, I'll try and work this out, but you know, I'll have all the time in the world to do it because I'm not working.
Right.
So I'll find a place where it makes sense. I'll figure out how much I can spend each month, what we can buy, and what
we
can't.
But there are going to be times you're like, God damn it.
Uh-huh.
And if the rule is you can't work,
you're going to have to make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah, shop at Aldi, you know? Live frugal, my friend. I can teach you some tricks.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have a problem doing it, except for you kept saying travel around the world.
That's the thing. Like, it's like, why do I have to travel the world? They just assume that everyone wants to do that.
But I can't travel the world around the world on that. $60,000 a year, making $60,000 a year does not lend itself to being a world traveler. That's not how it works.
These people are
you
going
don't
to
go spend 2 weeks in France.
No, these people are going to get jobs again. They're right. going to blow that $287,000, it sounds like, in I don't know how much time, a month, 2 months, a year. They're going to blow through that money taking their family on these dream vacations, and then they're going back to work. Yeah. That does not interest me. I'm not trading seeing the seven wonders of the world for trying to figure out how to make a resume and apply for jobs. No right. thanks, f*** that. The Church of Laszlo. So first, let me just ask you real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The movie that everybody loved... That you hated. You just
hated?
Like, I actually thought, I can't believe this is that popular. There's movies like Avatar, and you know when you saw it. This isn't
like
for us.
Yeah, no.
It's not for me.
But I don't like sci-fi, exactly. So I don't hold that against people.
Exactly. You go, I don't
I'm
know.
Like, maybe it was good for you. I don't
exactly.
know.
But there are movies sometimes where you go, God damn it, how do people like that
I think
so
all
much?
Three of us agree on The Hangover.
That's,
no, I love The Hangover.
That's kind of my go-to. Okay. Oh, you like it.
I love
okay.
it. Love it, love
Slim
it, love
hated it.
Okay. But comedy, my thing about comedy is it's still sort of like what Laz was saying about sci-fi. It's very subjective, what's funny and what's sexy.
Sure.
So, you know, yeah, you can be torn on those. Like, I know people who say Anchorman wasn't funny, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't...
I like The Hangover way more than I like Anchorman.
Wow, okay. But you like Anchorman.
I do.
I know someone who says Will Ferrell isn't funny, and I'm like, Jesus.
Well, I think Will Ferrell's funny in a smile way.
Oh, okay.
Will Ferrell makes me smile. Will Ferrell doesn't make me laugh.
Oh.
Like, I like him, and I watch anything he's in, but it's not like a ha-ha-ha.
I thought we LOL'd at Get Hard.
Get Hard.
Yeah.
No, I like that. I mean...
There are exceptions.
Yeah, of course.
Sure.
So the point is, comedy, it's just... That's how it works, to a certain extent. Some people just aren't going to think things are funny. As far as, like, big movies that people loved that I thought, I did not like this, The Hurt Locker, because we were just talking about Catherine Bigelow a minute ago on Twitch... Man. I remember seeing that in theaters, and I was like, this is not very good. But people liked it, and I missed something. I missed
thought
something.
It was awesome.
The Witch, Socon, was up for Oscars.
I don't understand The Witch at all.
There's those movies. Any Woody Allen movies over my head.
I like Woody Allen.
It's over my I went and saw one of his movies that was popular in theaters with Owen Wilson, your guy. Something about Paris or something. I don't know. My ex took me. And the theater was full, and these people are laughing, and I don't even realize it. It's like a joke. It's so... People are on a different level, you know? The Woody Allen stuff, it's way over my head. But in general, the movies that made $1 billion that overall critics thought were the worst of the billion bunch, here they are. And this is based on critics' reviews of them. So if I start at the bottom, the better the score. Higher I go, the lower their score, right, from critics. So, like, what do you think was a movie that made $1 billion that critics didn't love? It's kind of hard to think of them because if it made
I would say, like, DC or Marvel movies, they never get mm-hmm. good stuff. So Joker, maybe they don't like mm-hmm. Joker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like that made $1 billion.
Okay. They said that this is open to... it is not open to all billion-dollar movies. Just the ones that show up on Rotten Tomatoes. Now, my thing is, if it made $1 billion, wouldn't it be on Rotten Tomatoes?
How would it not be?
What movie...
Well, maybe Rotten Tomatoes only does, like, theatrical release, and so maybe you can make $1 billion afterwards.
But they do streaming stuff. I don't know. Anyhow, these are the ones. Now, we've started at the bottom. There's still somewhat positive scores. It's just that most billion-dollar movies, I guess, are more beloved. The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey. I don't know anything about it. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Okay.
Did you hear that Sharon Osbourne talking about Ozzy and Pirates of the Caribbean on Billy Corgan's thing? She was on Billy Corgan's podcast... And she said she'd never told anyone this before, but that Ozzy was supposed to read, like, they wanted him in Pirates of the Caribbean, and she told them no.
You want to know the biggest mistake I ever made with Ozzy? He got offered to go and read for Pirates of the Caribbean, and I've never said this to anyone. I said no. Wouldn't he have been perfect?
He would have been perfect.
Yeah, right. I know.
I know. It's kind of crazy to think about. You're like, oh, yeah, that would work. Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace. That's number 13. I am a Star Wars fan. I pretend like that movie doesn't even exist. I think it's okay. So bad. So I think it belongs. I'm surprised that it's got the score that it does. Super Mario Brothers movie. I thought people liked that.
I liked
right?
it. I thought it was good.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, people liked it. It got a 59%, so I don't know why. You know, it's still, I guess, billion-dollar movies are mostly liked.
Movie.
Minions, I assume we're talking about the original one, 55%. Alice in Wonderland, I thought that was okay. I'm not like a big Tim Burton.
Oh, the Tim Burton one?
I don't always love him, but I kind of like that. Did you see it?
No, I'm not a big Tim Burton.
No, me neither.
Yeah. Despicable Me 3. Never. I don't think I've seen...
I like those movies.
Where did the Minions start? In Despicable Me 1? Is that how it all started?
I think so.
Now you got the Minions movies? Okay.
Yeah.
So I saw the first Despicable Me. The Steve Carell, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I call it being funny.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah,
they're
your kids are probably the right age, right, to go see those. That seems like a kind of movie that if you got kids, there are much worse things you can go to the theater and have to watch. Like maybe Transformers, Dark of the Moon. I don't know which one that is, but it got a 35% from the critics. I saw the first Transformers with...
Megan Fox.
And what's his name?
John Cena. Is he in one too? John Cena's in Bumblebee, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that trailer. Yeah. I never saw it. Did you see any of those?
I saw the one with Cena.
Okay. I saw the one with Shia and Megan Fox. I remember when it was coming out, there were guys that are like maybe 2 to 5 years older than me, somewhere around there, and they were so excited because they loved Transformers so much when they were kids. They watched the cartoon. And, you know, it was around, but I didn't really have any connection to it. I may have had some of my brother's old toys. Snow Cone, a movie that you and I held hands and saw together, is on this list.
Yeah?
Made $1.3 billion.
Jurassic Park.
Jurassic World.
So stupid.
I couldn't get into that.
It was so stupid.
Wasn't a big fan. I got a 47%. The Transformers movies keep getting worse. Age of Extinction, is that the Cena one? I don't know. It made over $1 billion. Got an 18%. Then Disney did these live-action remakes of their cartoons, right?
Yeah. I didn't watch any of those.
Me neither. I forget that it exists. When I see a picture of Aladdin and Will Smith as Aladdin, or as the genie, I'm always shocked because I remember when that news came out, I thought it was a joke. I thought they were messing with this. You know, it was kind of funny. Maybe even Will Smith was in on the joke. But no, they made a movie, and it made over $1 billion. It's got a 50%. There's another Jurassic Park movie on here, Snow Cone. I don't actually know which one you and I saw. It was one of the Jurassic Worlds. Dominion, 29%. Lion King made $1.7 billion, and it only got a 51%, which means it's still rotten. So it is the highest grossing.
All time?
Highest grossing of the rotten, yeah, according to this thing. Star Wars Episode IX, Rise of Skywalker, also 51%, so same score. But those are the highest. It is crazy how many movies have made $1 billion now. And these are just the ones that they're supposed to be the worst of the billion-dollar ones. I know you were looking at a list of other billion-dollar movies.
Well, I just pulled it up here.
If there's this many that are rotten, how many's on this? 15. Then there must be
50. Let me scroll down 50? And see how many there are.
Are there 100 movies? There's 50?
Yep.
Wow.
Well, at least that's what the list I'm looking at. So
That's pretty crazy. And you guys were saying you think Titanic was the first to make $1 billion? I'd buy that.
I think I heard that.
I thought maybe Avatar was.
Maybe it was Avatar.
Titanic is the fourth largest grossing movie ever.
Okay, and it made over $1 billion?
$2 billion.
Oh, so there you go. Maybe
there's only six movies that have made over $2 billion.
Okay, Titanic is one of them.
Yeah, Avatar, Avengers: Endgame, Avatar: The Way of the Water, Titanic, Star Wars: The Force Awakens, Avengers: Infinity War, and Spider-Man: No Way Home.
And those all made over two?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm looking at Spider-Man, that's the closest, like 1.98, so I'm guessing it's probably there now.
They call it $2 billion, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Are any of these movies that you were so excited about, you bought tickets in advance, or that your kids, like Endgame, I know you liked Endgame a lot.
All of the, Spider-Man No Way Home was great, Infinity War was great.
But did you guys ever buy tickets early, like a month in advance?
I think we probably bought them for like the preview the night before or whatever, sure.
I did it
with
Star Wars.
I remember going to see them,
Force Awakens was the only time I did that. I remember I had to work, and I asked you if I could leave work early because I'd bought the tickets like 6 months in advance to go see that movie. That's the only time I can think of ever doing that. I could imagine Snow Cone would do it if they made a Game of Thrones movie. I think he'd absolutely buy the tickets months in advance.
100%.
But I can't think of anything that's been made that you would have bought tickets to months in advance. You're not a Star Wars fan.
No.
So if you're not a superhero fan or a Star Wars fan, that gets rid of a lot of stuff. And I know you don't like Avatar, so what's left?
Yep.
Lord of the Rings, you haven't gotten into that yet.
No, I don't like it at all.
Well, you just haven't gotten into it yet.
No, I've watched it.
So what else,
like
what else made over a billion on there?
Well, I can go from just at a billion. Despicable Me 3, Jurassic Park, Pirates.
Okay, so that's
Star Wars,
some of these.
Mona 2, Aladdin, Rogue One, Pirates, Toy Star Story 3 and 4. Both made over a billion.
Man, I don't think I ever saw 4.
Joker, The Dark Knight Rises, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man, Far From Home.
The Dark Knight Rises, is that the third one? Is that the third movie? The Dark Knight is the second one?
Dark Knight Rises is Christian Bale.
Yeah, and that's the third
it's
one
the
of
the third Nolan movie.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. I did and see those when they opened. Those are good movies. Yeah. I'm not a huge superhero fan. I do like Batman, and those movies were good. I like those a lot. I did not see the first one the day it came out, but because I liked the first one enough, I went and saw the second and third one. The second one is obviously, I think most people probably think the second one is the best one, but I thought they were all good. People
Top Gun Maverick
crap on the first one.
$1.5 billion. Barbie.
And Top Gun did that during COVID. The pandemic era, so it was pretty crazy that it did that. And then Barbie, Snuggle said that's the first woman. Right?
I think it was the first woman director to reach a billion.
Unless
I could be totally
James
wrong,
Cameron's
though.
Ex-wife is on here somewhere. Catherine that
Bigelow
could be right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could be right. And I'm sure it's also something like, you know, first non-Disney, non-superhero, non-sci-fi. You know, it is kind of its own thing, and it's impressive that it made $1 billion,
for sure.
Whether you liked it or not. Of all the billion-dollar movies, which one's your favorite?
Infinity War.
Wait, what? Which one was the one where we weren't supposed to spoil the ending? Was that Endgame?
Infinity War.
It's Infinity War.
Maybe Endgame. Endgame.
Which one has someone die at the end?
Infinity War is like half of them die at the end, right?
That's Endgame.
So maybe that. I don't know which is which. I remember Lazo liking both. I remember one of them being talked about more
Infinity
than any other
War
superhero
is when
movie.
When the snap thing happens, like half
that's
of them die.
That's Infinity War, and Endgame is when they come back.
Right.
They try to reverse Thanos' snap.
Oh, right. So Infinity War came first, and that's where people died?
Yeah.
Well, then that must be the one I'm thinking of, because there was a bunch of stuff at work. Remember it said, don't ruin the end of this movie for people? Because they know that we do that sometimes. And I don't recall that ever happening before, where we got like a thing from work saying, don't ruin a movie. It was such a massive deal, and I don't know superhero stuff enough. I've never seen
it. Yeah, I think I
Marvel
have them
stuff.
Right in my head. But yeah, those movies are great.
Yeah.
Civil War was great.
Okay, that's another. I forgot about Civil War.
Civil War is where they fight each other.
And people love that, right?
Yeah, and it's, you know, got political overtones. It's great.
Okay. I guess I'm in the minority. I liked The Force Awakens, the Star Wars movie. I know people on Twitch are going to rake me over the coals. I liked that movie. But I'm looking at all the billion-dollar movies off the top of my head. And Pirates of the Caribbean, I don't know if I've seen all of them. Well, I know I haven't. I saw one and maybe two, or I skipped two. I'm not a big Pirates of the Caribbean fan. I get it. That's one where I watch and go, I understand why people like this. But it's not really for me.
And depending on the list, it changes. Because I just now looked at IMDb's list, and they say Endgame's the highest grossing.
Okay.
So it overtook Avatar.
All right. I'd rather see those. I would rather get invested into the Marvel Universe at 42 years old and sit through those movies in order than watch one Avatar. One more Avatar. Yeah. I would rather do that. Would you, Snowcone? You got to get invested in Marvel and watch
100%.
The movies. Or watch one
more
Avatar.
I'm already planning on getting into Marvel when Bomb Pops, you know.
Oh, that makes sense.
There's a lot of them on that list, you know.
Well, Marvel movies?
Yeah, that make the billion.
They were just like billion, billion, billion.
I mean, Iron Man, Captain America and Civil War made over a billion. Iron Man 3, all the Spider-Man movies, Captain Marvel.
They just printed money. They bought those rights and then just printed money with it. Imagine if you're the other studio, Sony or whoever it was, and you're just watching Disney make $1 billion. And they did it with these characters that a lot of times it weren't massive characters, right? I don't know much about
Black
it, but that's
Panther,
what I heard. Yeah.
Avengers, Age of Ultron.
And they made that stuff.
That's a lot of them. The Avengers
successful.
Is number 8.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
We should make a superhero movie.
The Church of Laszlo.
Remember, years ago, we were talking about, our fantasies about, you know, kind of what would make us cool. There are different things, like Laszlo talked about the idea of having that strange person standing at his funeral that no one knows,
right?
Stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that we talked about was a couple dreams that Laszlo has, if you don't know him well. One is bumpers on the streets, which actually was written about not that long
ago. I know.
crazy.
And I've been cleaning them out forever. Just your car veers into it. If you're drunk, you go down in a little bumper lane.
Yeah, gutter. Bowling alley. Yeah, and you just bounce around in the gutter.
Yeah.
Until you get home.
Until you get home.
That's it.
A little close to home.
Yep.
And then you walk. But your car doesn't get out of there.
And if you hit other cars, your insurance didn't pay for it.
Mm-mm.
And your insurance didn't pay for anything in the gutter.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So and that's just the rule. You just have gutters. Blasel said it would save a lot of lives. Talked about that for 20 years, and then suddenly someone else brings it up. The other thing you've talked about, so you got the person at the funeral, mysterious person at the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
You got the gutters on the street.
There's a couple of them, like a woman with a dog, you know, all in black, who stands away, big Doberman.
Yeah.
Right? Just looking, you know.
Nobody knows.
Big glass, you know, big long gloves and wipes tears off her eyes. I also like the idea of two dudes in suits. I kind of like this one better.
Where they got the earpieces. I like that.
And they go down and they look at me and they touch my chest.
That's good.
And they count it for like 5 seconds. They go, it's him.
Clear.
That's it. It's him. And then walk out. How cool would that be?
I like that. But I know one of the other things.
But the fact that they check, like, because they're like, this dude's not dead.
Be great. And your family's sitting there like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Your kids think you're the coolest guy ever. What
right.
But they spend the rest of their lives trying to find out something that doesn't exist. But that's okay. You give them something to do. The other thing in this fantasy world is the bodyguard. The guy that's just there to keep you safe.
If I had enough money, just a guy that when you start to get in trouble, he kicks your ass, throws you in the back of the car.
Pulls you out of the bar. If someone's coming after you because you've been running your drunk mouth, he takes care of it.
It really protects me from me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's
make sure if I'm like, I'm going to drive, he's like, no, you're not. He punches me, throws me in the back of the car.
If I could only have one thing out of all of your...
like, I'm going to go kick this guy's ass. He's like, no, you're not.
Imagine if you'd had one, if you're given one as a teenager, and you'd had one your whole life. How much different life could be right now?
Man.
I mean, totally different. Hell, I could have used one in elementary school telling me to stay focused on my schoolwork. But certainly when I was old enough to go out, having a bodyguard would be great. And, you know, people are crapping on this new app. People are calling it Uber for guns. I mean, when you hear Uber for guns, that sounds like I'm going to go borrow a gun from someone, right? That's not what this is. It's a new app. It's in the App Store now. It's an on-demand armed guard. And it's launching right now. And they say that maybe this is somehow in response to the United Healthcare shooting. What was his name? Brian Thompson or whatever? Is that right, Snowcone? Brian Thompson? I think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So this Protector app is just an happy download like any other app. And it bills itself as allowing users to hire on-demand personal security. They're armed.
Oh, I like it.
Along with a Lyft. So you are getting a ride from this person and a security guard in one. I mean, that takes care of Uber and the fantasy.
And how much is it?
One full swoop. You're done, right? Well, here's the issue. First of all, they're just launching it, like, now. So it's starting in select cities. Hopefully, it'll spread. I don't think you can get it here yet. It's only in a couple cities right now when they launch. But the cost for one guard with the car for 5 hours. 5 hours is a good amount of time.
Yeah.
I'll go out at 10, 11 o'clock at night. 5 hours will be plenty. I'll be blacked out way before then, right? So I don't need more than 5 hours. 5 hours. Now, in Los Angeles, it's listed as $1,000. Plus, you have to pay an annual member fee, which is $129. So this is more than like one of those 99-cent apps or $4.99 apps. It's a lot of money. But that's L.A. I'm sure it'll be cheaper here. There is a cost-splitting function that you and I could use, Lazo, where we share the driver and share the security guard. I mean, we can both fit in this guy's car, and he'll take us places. We just have to hang out together or whatever, ride with this guy, and we can split it through the app. So $500 a person if you want to split it. But think about it. $1,000 if you wanted to do your ultimate night out. Like maybe even if you just said, like, I'm dying or whatever. This is on my bucket list. $1,000. You save it up. What's $1,000 now? It ain't worth much. So you save up $1,000. You get to go out one night for 5 hours. This guy picks you up in a car. I don't know if he's got the earpiece, Lazo, but he's got the gun.
Right.
And all of them are former military, former cops. They're all former pros. And he drives you around wherever you want to go. And escorts you into the bars, out of the bars, into homes.
See, that's not anything you're saying all that. That's not anything I would pay for it for.
What do you? I know you want them to just pick you up and you're drunk.
No. I'm saying if you're going to do that and they've got guns, then you want, you know, just going to the bars. That's like you pay that money to go to a heavyweight fight.
Yeah.
You pay that money for them to walk you into a Vegas heavyweight fight or a casino. But hopefully a heavyweight fight, some sort of UFC thing. You buy front row tickets, and these dudes stand there and watch you, because that's badass. And then everybody's like, who is that guy?
For sure.
Why does he got that? Like, you know, rolling into Johnny's.
Yeah,
be like, I'm going to get hammered, boys. Kick my ass if I do anything dumb.
Well,
and, you know, people just do that for you.
Okay, but if you had infinite money,
I would do it for big events.
You're telling me, yeah, for sure. Like, that's the first thing you do it for. I get right. that. But you're telling me with infinite money, you don't also go let that guy take you to the regular bars?
Well, I'm guessing if with that money, I don't go to regular bars, which would be awesome.
Okay.
So with that money, yeah. I need them.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to different places. But to do it once, I'm doing it big.
Okay. If it were cheap, it was like $20
mm-hmm.
for the ride and the security guard. You take him to Johnny's, right?
My goal here is to
get you to say that
like Long John Silver or something. Yes. Like, I'm fine.
Everywhere you go, like a celebrity. On their Twitter page, whatever it's called, X, they put up a promotional video, and it's got like a clip of Brian Thompson from United Healthcare getting uh-huh. shot. And I was thinking, that's how they're promoting this
sure.
thing. And I was thinking, man, you know, what if he'd had a bodyguard? What would that scene have looked like? In my mind, I think that guy, what's his name, Luigi, still could have shot the CEO.
Ooh,
the difference would
boy.
Be that the bodyguard would have shot Luigi right there, right? I'm just not totally confident that it would have prevented that shooting. Maybe, though. Maybe the bodyguard comes out and clears the way first, but one guy, I feel like you could still get shot in the back. But your killer
I think
would
you
be
could,
executed
but,
immediately.
You know, there's also a chance they...
It's better than not having them.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's definitely better than not having them. And I understand CEOs now, especially of healthcare. If you're the new CEO
of
United.
If I'm the CEO of a healthcare place, I'd have those guys. Yeah.
I would say we need a name change right away. You are not going to put out any promotional material that says I'm the CEO now. No, thank you.
I certainly would have security.
I know it pays a lot, but that's now a job where you go, I don't know that I want this. Look at all the people rooting on Luigi. You know what I mean? These people, there's people sending them money, sending them letters, all these things. I don't know that I want this job, even though it pays me a couple million a year.
More than that, probably.
Probably more than that. You got to take it, but you also, I would ask, like, please, can we be discreet?
Yeah.
And I definitely want these bodyguards. One is not enough for the CEO. I want more than that. If I'm walking from one hotel to the other.
I'm not taking that job, though.
That's kind of how I feel.
I'm not taking that job. Not because I'm scared of.
Oh, mine's because I'm scared.
I pay people to protect me, whatever. I'm fine with that. I'm not worried about somebody shooting
me. A job where people want to kill you.
I'd be fine. You got people around you that protect you. I don't want to just... I don't know that I could live with denying health care to your mother.
Well, you know,
right, being honest, like, I don't want to be that dude.
Maybe you could change things.
I just don't want to be that dude. Well, right, if I was going to change things,
yeah.
then hopefully people wouldn't want to kill me.
Yeah, and they'd
be like, look at Laszlo. He's actually paying for people.
Yeah.
We love him. You'd be a hero.
But the shareholders wouldn't want you CEO.
Right, exactly. So,
it's not going to happen.
Either way, I'm not... Either way, that job. In order to get that job, I got to turn it down. Your health care, or I change everything, and the CEO, you know, the board doesn't want me to be the CEO. So.
Sure, exactly. So if you take the job, you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
If you're going to keep it, you got to be a bad guy. But what shocks me here?
I don't really want it. Like I'll do bad stuff. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah, me
like,
too.
Like I'm not saying I have some sort of moral.
We'd be such corrupt cops.
Oh,
we'd
please.
Be the most corrupt.
Yeah.
Nobody'd be as corrupt as us.
I'd run BlackRock or Blackstone.
Absolutely.
Or just go kill people over oil. No problem.
Drug dealers, cash
no
piles. We're taking
like,
those
all
home.
That stuff's dirty anyway.
Right.
You're all dirty. We're going to the Middle East. We're going to steal this oil and this money. I'm all in.
Yeah, I'll do best.
I'll run it. I'm good with it.
You're right. The healthcare thing is different. Stealing
the
money from drug dealers.
Like, your mom didn't do anything.
Right.
I feel like if we're all guilty, like I would be in the mafia.
Yeah.
We're all guilty.
Yeah.
We're all guilty. Screw you. This is what it's about making. But and by the way, I'd also probably be like, there's a lot, like, I didn't kill anybody. There's a lot of things where I'm like, you know, if you said you want to be the CEO of, you know, U.S. Bank, I'm like, man, I keep hitting these bitches with late fees. Like,
that's
I, and they're like,
one.
Right, you know what I mean? But I wouldn't, that ain't keeping me up at night. People are like, oh, you're still
not like
the
healthcare,
poor, but not like
not
I
like healthcare.
Definitely so, denied this woman cancer
with
treatment.
Cancer, yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I hit her with a $42 late fee. Like, I'd be like, yeah, it makes me a dick. But I'm all right being a dick, whatever. We all got our jobs.
I think I agree. My only fear
is... I'm not saying I'd want to do that, but I'm saying
no.
I would do it.
Oh, I do that.
For billions of dollars, I'd do it, no problem.
Oh, I'd charge late fees. That's what I'm saying. I definitely agree with that part.
Right.
The only thing I'm saying is that once I become CEO of United Healthcare, whatever money they make, once I start making that money, I might just start denying coverage to people. If that's what I got to do to keep making that money,
yeah.
I might be greedy enough that I go, all right, well, this is what I do. It's not my fault.
But
the system's
man,
broken.
It'd be tough.
I know, but I do all these mental gymnastics in my head to say, hey, this is how it works. they want to change it, the government needs to change
it. I'm sure that's what you got to do, is you got to be like, oh, these doctors
and their profit.
Experimental care. Yeah. She doesn't need that.
They rip us off all the time anyway.
Right? Yeah.
I'm sure they do rip off the insurance companies when they can.
Oh,
of course they do.
I don't know how it works, but I still would feel really, like, I don't know that I could have those meetings, like, deny.
That's what I'm saying. I just don't want to say.
I don't know if I could.
I like to think that I would be like you. I'm just afraid that once that money starts rolling
in. No, I'm a smoker. I'd even be the CEO of Philip Morris.
Exactly.
And it killed my dad, me.
That's a decision. That's a decision you
I
make.
I can do those mental gymnastics.
Yes, absolutely.
I wouldn't be the guy who, if I got lung cancer, would be like, deny him the coverage.
Right.
Well, wait. That would be bad. So I'd be like, buddy, he smoked on his own. Like, doesn't matter. He paid insurance. Get him some chemo.
Is a for-profit healthcare company the only major corporation you could think of that you absolutely would not be the CEO of? I feel like I couldn't do I probably couldn't do natural gas, that stuff. If I started figuring out how bad it was, and like, all right, we're going to go here, we're going to displace these people, their water's going to be poisoned, I think I'd have a hard time sleeping with that, too.
Mm.
I'm no landman.
I watch Landman.
Yeah.
And Billy Bob gave that speech.
I know.
Was like, that speech
green
was
good. Green energy's bad. Yeah. The oil's good.
And
I saw
he even
that.
Used some of my thing. Like, how much of the trucks to put that goddamn thing
right,
up you.
Right. They say his math was way off on that, though.
Whatever.
Harvard does. But
it was good.
It was they claim that show is sponsored by a petroleum industry.
I know
by the
said
petroleum
that.
Industry. Yeah. They're the sponsors of it. I don't know if any of that's true, but I did see those clips of him giving those speeches, and it felt...
That's the other thing that makes me mad. Like, well, that show's sponsored by a petroleum company. I'm like, you mean a gas company ran a commercial during it?
It's the United Petroleum Industry.
Right.
It's the United... It's like, it's the lobbying group. It's the United
Petroleum. Yeah, but I don't think they have product placement.
No, they just advertise.
You know
they
yeah,
just sponsor the show. Yeah, but people are accusing them of.
I know what I'm saying.
Putting
right,
that stuff
like,
in the show.
They probably putting a lot of show.
Say that green energy's bad and make sure that you just make those references.
Nah, I'd do it. Oil's fine, whatever.
So you could do that one. I don't think that's when. You know what? I'm more confident that I couldn't do that. The whole messing up the earth, I'll do it. But I want to think that, like, I don't really have a choice. I'm not doing it so bad. If I'm a CEO of a big company and we're really screwing things up, I can't watch those videos of the polar ice caps melting and everyone saying there's global warming. I can't. I turn that stuff off. I don't want to see it. So if you tell me that now I'm poisoning water and doing all this stuff, I don't think I could do it. I think I'd rather be the CEO of the healthcare company, but not by much. I don't really want to do either.
I think I could do the gas stuff. I could probably do the mental job.
I just need to watch Landman. I'll watch Landman all the way through and I'll change my mind.
He's a good dude.
And I'll change my mind.
The Church of Laszlo.
What are you doing tonight?
I don't know. What are you doing?
I don't know. Yesterday I was really excited because I had a documentary I wanted to finish. I got home, but I already did that, so now I got nothing. I don't know.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Okay, Brooke's been job hunting, so I guess we'll talk about that.
Oh, that's exciting. Going
on. You been texting her?
No, not today.
Yeah,
I'll text her about boring stuff.
I got home the other night. She first thing when I walked in the door, I'm texting Laszlo. I said, yeah, okay. Like, literally, I know you're not listening to the show, but literally, this is the last thing that we talked about, and I asked him to stop, and now I drive home. It takes me 15, 20 minutes to get home, and I get home, and I walk in the door, and he says, I'm texting Laszlo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Cool. But I feel like
upset?
You guys are messing with me.
Were you upset?
I was just like, that's long enough. That's good. I'm not the jealous type. I just know when I'm being messed with is all.
What do you mean messing?
I don't feel like you were having a real conversation with her because you wanted to. Maybe it started that way, but you were trying to mess with me a little bit.
She texted me first.
I understand.
I didn't reach out to her.
I understand. Anyhow, you don't need to text her. She's fine. Snuck on, how's your family? Good?
Are you telling me not to text her? You're putting like rule that me
no,
and her
just,
are not
I thought, felt
text?
Like you were messing with me that day. That's all. I felt like you were messing with me and sending text just to try and see if I would research to find out what you were texting. You're doing it to try. And you said that Mike, our friend, only offered help to Brooke in her job search because
she's
hot, and then if she wasn't, he wouldn't have offered her help. Yeah. I talked to him about that. He said that. True, false?
Of course. Why?
You're fact-checking here.
Uh-huh.
Your Pinocchio knows.
Well, ask him how many unattractive women he's helped in the last year.
He told me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he said last week he helped a mentally challenged handicapped.
Was he talking about me?
Did he help you last week?
He did.
That he didn't give names, obviously. But I believed him. I believe that he was doing it for the right reasons. I believe you were doing it for the wrong reasons. That's my point. I didn't have a problem with him texting because I knew he was being honest and helpful and nice. I don't have a problem with her texting you and you texting her back. But when you sit here and you keep talking about it, look at me. I'm texting her. And then I start to go, what is going on? Yeah, which is what you want. That's what you want from me. They say, don't do it.
I'll text her and tell her you said we can't text anymore.
I did not say that.
You said you wish that we wouldn't.
That is not. I never said that. You're gaslighting me.
Said it.
That's gaslighting.
I'm pretty sure we're going to go back and be like,
yeah. I said that you don't need to text her right now. And I also said I don't mind if you guys text, but that day you were doing it for a long time to mess with me.
Can I text her?
You're doing it now for no reason. You weren't thinking I should text her about something. Sure. But you weren't thinking I need to text her right now.
But I can text her.
You're doing the same thing again.
I'm just asking you.
Shouldn't even told you.
Can I?
Yeah, you can. Cool. I'm not your boss.
Awesome. Yo. What's up, girl?
God damn it. Then I need to text her, too. It's been a minute. She thinks you have time to text her. I should have time to text her.
Oh, you're going to text at the same time?
Well, you're going to text her before me.
Uncomfortable.
You texted her before I did? You know what I mean? Whatever. Go ahead. It doesn't matter.
Thank you. Yo, what's up, girl?
I texted her 5 minutes ago.
I'll bet she did. Will you tell your baby mama to stop with the messages after like 1 a.m.? I'm up pretty late. But 1 a.m. is late.
All right. Tommy Norris. Good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.